morning.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is good to be back. And good to just see the wonderful change. I mean, when I was here with you, you were all just meeting this guy. And now when I watch this morning the relationships that exist as you're engaged in ministry together, I rejoice with you on this, the 50th anniversary of Shepherd of the Valley. We have a little plaque that we'd like to give out, a little certificate in remembrance. And so, Pastor, why don't you come on up? I'll stay over here so that our friends online can see it. But it says, from the Pacific Southwest District, 50th Anniversary Celebration of Recognition, presented July 16, 2023, Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church, Oceanside, California. The certificate is given in honor and celebration of 50 years of faithful service in our Lord by Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church, Pacific Southwest District congregations and schools rejoice with you, and may our Lord continue to bless your ministry. And then from Matthew 28, they go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Matthew 28:19. So, Pastor, God bless you. Fun, ask you to do some hand raising here, okay? How many of you were married here? Dad, look around and see this, okay? How many of you had a family member that was married here? How many of you were baptized here? How many of you had a family member baptized here? How many of you were confirmed here, confirmed your faith in Christ? How many of you had a family member who was confirmed in Christ? I could go on forever, couldn't I? With all kinds of things and the ways that a congregation ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ is used to touch our lives, to equip us as disciples so that we might then be engaged in the work that God gives to each of us. And I just rejoice with you on this great celebration. I enjoyed reading, Pastor sent it to me, the little profile kind of thing of all the history of this congregation, and what a great thing to celebrate the faithfulness of God. Now you've chosen as your theme this idea of remember. Well, if there's ever a theme that God has pretty big time in the scriptures, it's remember, isn't it? You go all the way to the time of the Passover. Why did they do that? So they would remember the things of God as he brought them out of captivity in Egypt and into the promised land. We have the Lord's Supper that we'll share in a little bit so that we will remember as we receive bread and wine that is the body and blood of our Savior Jesus Christ. Every time, as Pastor said today with the children, we open up the scriptures, we remember. We remember what God has revealed about himself. We remember the salvation that he has given us in our Savior Jesus. We remember. And this morning I'd like to talk to you about remembering for the future. It's one of the temptations that we have in the church is often to look back and go, wow, our best days were back whenever. We should return to those days. Well, I'm sorry, in case you haven't figured out, the ship sailed on that one, didn't it? Our world has changed. And so the circumstances and how we see the church today is going to be a little different as well. Now, I've chosen to spend a couple minutes with you today on this epistle lesson for today out of 2 Timothy chapter 2. And I thought it might just be good to take a second to remember, see if we can get those memory things to come back about some of the background of this particular book of Scripture. 2 Timothy is the last of the epistles that the Apostle Paul is going to write, or that he writes. And it's the last one, and how do we know that? Because there are many who believe that Paul may have written this epistle, sent it off, and within months or maybe even weeks was martyred for his faith in Jesus Christ. But he says things like, that he's writing from a cold dungeon and he's in chains. He's in Rome. He's had his first part of his trial. The second part is coming up, and with that second part would come the judgment on his life. He had that idea that the end was near for him, so he's writing to this beloved Timothy, his disciple, his one that he had mentored so long, and he's being very personal, even to the point where he says, come visit me, please. Time is short. Go get my cloak. Didn't have to say, you know, my favorite one, it's the third coat from the left and the hangers on my closet. He knew, bring my cloak and bring my parchments, bring my scrolls, bring my books. Bring the stuff that's around God's word for me that I might have it. Now, Timothy at the time is preaching, doing ministry in the city of Ephesus. The Apostle Paul had left him there to be able to help the church that was in Ephesus find its way forward, find itself in a time when there was significant resistance, significant challenges for the church. They were facing so many different false teachers who were trying to distract the people from the truth that God wanted them to hear. Does that sound a little familiar? Kind of descriptive of our day too, isn't it? That we live in a time that is difficult, a time that is resistant, a time when there are so many voices out there as to what is true and what is not, and that we would have people like Pastor Joel who stand before you, and are your other pastors throughout all these years, to be able to proclaim to you the truth of your Savior Jesus Christ so that you would be sure. Paul says certain things to him that are really rather precious. He calls Timothy my beloved child. He says to him, don't forget who you are. Guard the truth, Timothy, that you have. Remember what your mother and your grandmother taught you. Follow what I taught you. And don't be ashamed of all that you have. That's a good message for us too, isn't it? Remember what you've been taught. Hold on to what you believe. Guard it. But the Apostle Paul doesn't just stop at that point. He then moves into this text, which is the second chapter. And I'd like to suggest to you that this is a great chapter for, well, whatever kind of anniversary you might be celebrating today for a 50th. And I'd like to give you four words that I hope that you'll take home from. Okay, so listen up. I'm going to ask you to repeat them. Grace, in trust, endure, and remember. Grace, in trust, endure, and remember. Say it with me.
Grace, in trust, endure, and remember.
So let's take the first one, grace. It says in verse 1 of the text, you may want to follow along there in your bulletin where it was printed out. He says to Timothy and to us, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Shepherd of the Valley, there is no more important message that we have to share than about the Shepherd Jesus who comes to give us his grace. Is that not right? This grace is the thing that forms the central doctrine of all of our theology as Lutheran followers of Christ, that God comes in his grace and his mercy, and he gives to us that our forgiveness in Jesus. Grace is given to us. What we don't deserve, what we cannot earn, he has given to us in our gift of forgiveness. This is the message of the salvation that Jesus has given. This is the good news. This is the gospel. This is the central thrust of everything that we want to know and that we need other people to know. This is the core that we remember. It's why we exist. My friends, when churches get off track and they start following ridiculous thoughts and practices, it's because they have taken the core reality of God's forgiveness in Jesus Christ, his truth as the truth, and they set it aside. As Paul would say to Timothy, and I would say to Shepherd this morning, don't set it aside. Guard it. Let this grace be the thing that holds you. Because you see, this grace is also the thing that we have that empowers us to live our lives. His grace allows us to get up every day and start anew in the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. His grace that allows us to live in relationships, in marriage and in family, and to say, I'm sorry, I forgive you, restoration. It is a place in which we mirror everything that God has done for us as he pours out his mercy and his grace to us. I'd like you just for a moment to think with me about that very last verse of Psalm 23, because if there's ever a church that ought to have that psalm kind of thinking it's an important deal, it ought to be a shepherd in a valley, right? And that is this, right? Surely goodness and mercy, what's it going to do? Follows me all the days of my life, and I will what? Dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Surely goodness and mercy is grace. It's grace. When I was a kid, my grandpa, who was born in the late 1890s, he was the labor foreman at the old California State Fairgrounds. So he ran all the work that needed to happen there in Sacramento in those days on how to take care of the fairgrounds. My grandpa was one of those guys who could fix anything, could build anything. And I remember as a kid, I was one of those little guys that ran around and chased the greased pigs. Now, if you don't know what that is, ask someone older, they'll tell you. I remember riding around with my grandpa on the tractor as he would groom the horse track. I remember being traumatically affected by clowns at the fairgrounds. It was years later when I was a pastor and I was serving in congregation on a Sunday morning. We had a guest children's message. Guess what it was? A clown. Those just do not belong in church. I just want to say that to you. Because as things went along, all of a sudden, everybody, as the children's message finished, they're looking and they're going, where did Pastor go? I have, without even knowing it, found myself moving all the way over to the corner. I was as close to getting out of the building as I could. Of course, there's a whole other story as to how that happened, and that's not what I'm here to tell. But I also want you to know that for a time in the 1930s, my dad lived in a house with my grandparents on the fairgrounds. And it was right next to the railroad tracks. And they would have regularly, the trains would come in and they would offload all the stuff that was going to happen at the fairgrounds. And every single year, Barnum and Bailey Circus came to town. My dad talks about seeing the elephants and the lions and the tigers and the bears, oh my, if I can have some fun with that a little bit. And they would come off the trains, and then they would get them in the cages, and then they would do a circus parade through town. They didn't have social media to advertise. They didn't have the radio. They didn't have television. In order to know the circus had come to town, you were going to see the circus parade. And off they went. With the acrobats and the horses and the elephants holding on to each other's tails with their trunks and people riding on them. And you know, there was always a thing my dad would tell me about, because at the very end of the parade were about four or five guys in white overalls with great big shovels and brooms and rolling garbage cans. It was just in New Year's Day 2020 in January, Kathy and I, my wife, were privileged to be the principal riders on the Lutheran Hour Rose Parade float. to have that experience of going down Colorado Boulevard with hundreds of thousands of people. What a wonderful experience it was. And we were right behind an equestrian unit. Now, an equestrian unit, for those who don't know, that's the horses. And like elephants, horses do things while they walk. And right in front of us was one young lady in white overalls pulling a garbage can with a big shovel, cleaning it up before the floats ran over it. Now, why am I telling you this? Because this is my picture, and I want to share it with you today, of what it lives, what it means to live in grace. Because of these words, listen carefully and see the picture. Surely, goodness and mercy, what?
Follows
me. Whatever it is I do, however it is I sin, whatever my failure might be, whenever I fall short and I am not weighed, I need to live in the glory and the relationship of our God. He comes behind me and alongside of me and in front of me, and he says to me, your sins are forgiven. What I did on the cross covers those sins. I cleaned up your mess. And yet he doesn't take those sins and throw them in a garbage can. But he uses a cross instead of a shovel. And he throws them in an empty tomb, where they are forgiven and remembered no more. Remember God's grace, because he forgets your sin. You'll never read that song in the same way again, will you? Here's the second word, entrust. He says to Timothy, what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You see, we don't just remember what it is God has done for us. We take what God has done for us and what he has taught us and what his word has said to us so that we might then do what? Pass it along. Move it forward. This is about remembering for the future. To be able to know that, Shepherd, while you celebrate 50 incredible years, it has positioned you in this time and this season for what's coming next. We don't look back on it in what's called repristination and say, oh, we should try to return to what it used to be in the past. Let's go back to the glory days. No, in Jesus Christ, the glories are always the next thing Jesus is going to do. And so he would say, what you have heard from me, entrust to faithful men. Give it away. It's got to continue. Generation to generation. Believer to believer, believer to unbeliever. This is the story of the mission that God has called us to do. This is the story of the mission when God planted you in the middle of a tomato field. Read your story, by the way, if you didn't know that. This is the mission that God has given to you. And the fact that you're now praying for individuals and circumstances in your community, that it would not only improve and bless them, but it would change your heart in how you look and work in relationship with others. So here's third one. Remember, endure. This is endure hardship. It doesn't say if it gets hard, quit. Doesn't say roll up the sidewalks and go home. He says endure. And when you endure, you engage. He says no soldier gets entangled in civilians' pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned until he competes according to the rules. It is a hard-working farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. I said, how does that work, that I need to endure like a soldier? Well, a soldier would be called to stay focused, to remember your purpose. Why are we here? What is our goal? What is our why? Why are we here and why do we do this, people of Shepherd of the Valley? It's because of what God has done for us in Christ that we then engage for others. What about this athletic thing? My thought is, don't be disqualified because you're not playing by the rules. In other words, don't fall victim to false teaching. Hold the truth of what God has given to you and stay faithful to it. And then what about like a farmer? Well, don't quit. There's a long time between soil preparation and planting and harvest, isn't there? And yet the farmer continues because he knows that there is a fruit and a harvest that is yet to come. This is the long view of ministry as we think about who we are and what you are in relationship to this community in Oceanside. It's not an accident that God put you here. This was the heart of God for this community as he saw what it was going to be in the future. And as he sees what it is in 2023, and that you would know and understand what you need to be in this season. Finally, number four, the word remember. Remember all four of our words? Grace, entrust, endure, remember. And when he says, remember Jesus Christ risen from the dead. Friends, I'm just a couple years away from 70 at this point in my life. Some of you got a little more time. I know I look like I'm 47, but thank you. Very prematurely white here. Some of you have more time on life than I do. But here's what I also know is the older I get, the more I think about eternity. And the more I think about Jesus rising from the dead, what does that mean? That means he has defeated death. He has defeated our biggest enemy. He has defeated the thing that sin causes, which is eternal death and separation from God. He has given us to be people who are resurrection life people. I think Paul, in jail, in the cold, in a dungeon, in chains, wishing he had his coat, wishing he had his books, is thinking, I am so glad God's got that covered because of the resurrection of Jesus. Why and how do you think that the apostles who then took this message of Christ around the world and every one of them suffering and many of them martyred because of their faith? What would keep people going? How would they keep going when they were resisted? How were they going when they saw people fed to lions? How did they keep going? Because they had seen and experienced the resurrected Savior of eternity. And you don't forget. Through the ministry of this church, you have heard and celebrated and remembered that Jesus died and rose again for you. Never forget. Hold on to it. Remember what he did for you. But remember what he did for you so that it might motivate you for what others need to hear too. He is the one who is with you. He is the one who follows you with his grace, his goodness, and mercy. And he is the one who will never let you go. May God give you wonderful joy this day. I thank you for the privilege of getting to be part of this time with you. We look forward to hearing more and more wonderful stories of what God is doing in you, but through you into the Oceanside community. One of the things I love to do is particularly when I ordain a pastor, I love to put my hand in his head and kind of mess up his hair. And then I pray a blessing over him, and at the end of it, I'll say, let her rip, baby. It doesn't seem appropriate in that moment, does it? But it's true. Go all in. Hold nothing back. It's what Jesus did for us. It's what others who followed him did that we might have this today. And he needs a church who's willing to be for this season the one who will hear their Savior say, "Let her rip, Good Shepherd. Let's take it and bring this hope of Christ forward." In Jesus' name. Amen.